How can we create a sustainable food future? We find out next. Welcome to Amplified, the Hermes podcast channel, where we discuss the key issues, challenges, and trends shaping the investment landscape. I'm Tara Cunningham, Associate Director of Content at the firm. Finding solutions to build a sustainable food system for a growing global population without destroying our planet is one of the biggest quandaries of our generation. By 2050, the world population is expected to reach 9.8 billion. To feed the growing population, we will need to significantly increase food production. But our already overexploited planet will not be able to satisfy the resource-hungry nature of agricultural practice today. Agriculture irrigation, which consumes 70% of the world's water use, has been a major contributor to deforestation and surface water pollution, while its monoculture and use of synthetic pesticides has reduced biodiversity. That's not all. The agri-food sector is also a major contributor to climate change, accounting for 30% of greenhouse gas emissions. And we haven't even mentioned tackling the food waste challenge. So how do we create a sustainable food future? Today we're joining Maxime Lafloc, Investment Analyst, and Mohsen Ahmed, Senior Investment Analyst, during one of their weekly catch-ups back at our head office, as they discuss Hermes Impact Opportunities' focus on food security and the plausible solutions that can make the food system more inclusive, sustainable, and efficient.
Maxime, why does food security matter within Impact Opportunities?
Food and agriculture are really at the intersection of many of the environmental and social challenges that humanity faces. We know, for instance, that agriculture is the main driver of fresh water use, as well as greenhouse gas emissions. But it also has a large impact on things like the nitrogen and phosphorus cycles that are very key cycles for the Earth. In practice, we see rivers getting a lot of fertilizer runoffs from fields, leading them to becoming effectively biological dead zones. And as agriculture needs land, we also know, notably from the latest assessment by one of the key scientific body on biodiversity, the IPBES, that this is a driver of habitat loss, which is itself the first cause of extinction of species. Furthermore, we are also seeing more questions on the social impact of modern intensive farming, with the health impact of pesticides in fields for the workers in agriculture, as well as the excessive use of antibiotics in herds. So for a long time, those environmental and social issues were somewhat accepted because of the impressive yield improvements that were delivered, which meant that food was made cheap and widely available. But with the slowdown in agricultural yield improvements we have seen in the last decade, and combined with this, the potential for actually a decrease in yields because of things like topsoil erosion, water scarcity, severe weather events, of which some of them are made more pronounced because of the increasing impact from climate change. All these things are making the equation for food a lot harder to balance. So for us, within Impact Opportunities, initially, we didn't really have a specific theme for food security. In fact, we thought that its interactions with so many of the sustainable development goals developed by the United Nations, all these interactions meant that it was addressed by other themes such as water, energy transition, even health and well-being. But we realized that the scale of the challenge, as well as the scale of the innovation needs, this made us think that this is a major trend that deserves its own theme, really.
That's right. And the Hermes SDG taxonomy, which we've developed, helps to demonstrate the clear connections between the 169 targets that underlie the Sustainable Development Goals and investment opportunities within food security. We've gone through each target and firstly identified whether it's actually investable through public equities, and if so, considered which product or solution area can address the target. And what we found was that only 25% of the 169 targets are directly addressable through public equities, and that increases to 38% when you include engagement with companies. So from our taxonomy, we know that 8 of the SDG targets touch upon the food security theme. We've identified a number of investable products solution areas, including smart irrigation, precision agriculture, organic food production, and plant-based foods.
As we already mentioned, by 2050, the world population is expected to reach 9.8 billion. To feed the growing population, crop production will need to double. We are currently dealing with a double burden of malnutrition, where people are either not eating enough or they are eating the wrong foods. So we need to rethink our approach to nutrition. But is the world ready for a meatless future? There are plenty of options for those keen to replace meat in their diets with more ecologically friendly protein alternatives. But it's not just the broader society that has an appetite for alternative proteins. It's investors too. Last year, there was an unprecedented level of investment made in plant-based and cell-based meat companies, signalling a significant shift in consumer preferences. Let's rejoin Maxime and Mohsen, where they are discussing the challenges and solutions when it comes to the investment theme of food security.
Looking at the statistics in more detail shows how, when we think about the environmental impact of food, we aren't really talking about proteins. Proteins are one of the macronutrients that are necessary for humans. In fact, we need about 56 grams of protein every day to function. Yet, they are also very inefficient from an energy, water, and land footprint perspective. One of the issues in practice is that we are just eating too much protein. According to the World Resources Institute, a leading US environmental think tank, the average person across the world eats 68 grams of protein per day, which is far in excess of what is actually needed. This is a problem because those proteins take a far greater amount of resources to be produced than other kind of calories. Now, the problem is that we eat the wrong proteins. Beef production, for instance, requires 20 times more land and emits about 20 times more greenhouse gas emissions per unit of edible protein than common plant-based protein sources, such as beans, peas, or lentils. Beef is extremely inefficient to produce. One quarter of the Earth's land is used for pasture land, and beef accounts for one third of the global water footprint of farm animal production. Chicken and pork are somewhat more resource efficient than beef, but still require three times more land and emit three times more greenhouse gas emissions than beans. Now, the increased awareness of those environmental problems, coupled with the idea that diets with higher plant-based content may be healthier, are leading to a shift in consumption towards plant-based food products. We've already seen this with milk. So when we look at the overall population in the US, there are roughly 5% of people who define themselves as vegetarian and or vegan, which is a proportion that is fairly stable over time. Yet, we see today that about 10% of dairy cells are with plant-based proteins, so double the proportion of people who actually declare themselves as only eating plant-based foods. The response from businesses has been quite rapid. We've seen new products and new businesses springing up to service this vegetable-inspired trend. A UK sandwich shop chain, for instance, has opened vegetarian-only outlets in London. And plant-based meat alternatives are also growing fast and are really a new exciting trend. With, for instance, one leading player in the US almost tripling sales this year as an increasing number of restaurant chains and supermarkets are expanding their offering to offer vegan options. And as these products scale up with the economies of scale, they have the potential to become attractively priced, which will drive volumes even further. We've actually done a team lunch trying some of those vegan burgers. And I must say, we were all very impressed with the quality of product. We all thought it was all very good. And Mohsin, you mentioned yourself that this is coming to school canteens as well, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. And my son recently started school, and it's interesting to see a number of plant-based meat alternative options available on the menu each week for his school dinners. And this is certainly very different to how things were when we were back at school. What's also interesting is that the local council has developed an app which helps to encourage students to eat more healthily, and in particular, focusing on helping students to increase their consumption of fruits and vegetables.
So we've talked a lot about protein, but mainly about protein from beef, pork, chicken, and so on. And what we're seeing as well is that there's somewhat of a trend where people are changing their consumption patterns to eat more fish as a potential more sustainable, healthier source of protein. Now, Mohsin, you've done a lot of work on this area, and what are your thoughts on this?
Yes, that's right, Maxim. And in terms of, you know, fish has a very important role to play. I mean, 3 billion people depend on fish as a major source of protein. And yet the latest International Panel on Climate Change's report gives evidence that climate change is making our oceans warmer, more acidic, and is resulting in lower oxygen levels, which in turn is leading to fish populations that are plummeting and even the emergence of dead zones. And this is all placing significant pressure on fisheries, which are already overexploited and in decline. So aquaculture has the potential to address rising demand for protein in a more sustainable manner. We know the issues around meat and dairy, which provide just 18% of global calories and yet use 83% of farmland. But aquaculture comes with its own impact risks. And I went out to Norway to see a large-scale fish farm. And while Norway is an example of how fish farming can be done more sustainably, and they've been moving away from the use of antibiotics, but this isn't the case in other regions. You can't escape the issue of dealing with the huge amount of waste that fish farms produce, and also the significant impact on biodiversity loss on the seabed, as well as the leaching of chemicals such as pesticides into the sea. Sea lice and other diseases also remain a threat from intensively farmed fishing operations, but there are natural solutions that are being adopted. And I saw these for myself in Norway, for example, with the use of cleaner fish, such as lump suckers, which are a natural predator of sea lice. Other solutions include taking fish farming onto land with closed containment farms. Clearly, this helps in maintaining a controlled environment for the fish and can eliminate disease risk, but comes with its own impact risks. A huge amount of capital would be involved in building on-land facilities, and we need to be aware of the carbon emissions that result from this. So the issues around food security are clearly complex, and there are no easy solutions.
Leaving unwanted veggies on your dinner plate is not just bad manners. It's also bad for our planet. Every year, a third of all food produced globally, that's 1.3 billion tons, gets thrown away. Food waste occurs at all stages of the supply chain, from early on with food production and storage, to the consumption stage, where often the slightest defect is off-putting. Discarding food is a significant polluter. Think of the fuel used for tractors or lorries, and fertilizer production that releases greenhouse gases during the production of food. Worse still, If the annual emissions from the 1.3 billion tonnes of food we throw away every year were released by a single country, it would rank as the third largest polluter in the world, after the US and China. And on top of that, the amount of water lost to food waste is equivalent to three times the volume of Lake Geneva, according to the UN. Let's pick up the discussion with Maxime and Mohsen, where they're discussing innovative solutions to create a sustainable food future.
Many people often underestimate how much food is wasted every year. The scale of this problem is actually huge, and the Food and Agriculture Organization estimates that about 1.3 billion tons of food are wasted or lost annually. One third of food produced for human consumption is wasted at a cost of about $990 billion per year. Further, there is a huge environmental impact of this. According to the recent report of the International Panel on Climate Change, the body of scientific experts on climate change set up by the United Nations, according to their latest report on climate change and land, food waste was also identified as an emissions culprit, accounting for 8 to 10% of total human greenhouse gas emissions annually. This is a huge waste of resources when we think about how much environmental capital we are drawing on to produce this food. This is also a waste of financial capital. But if we can address food waste, then the potential economic benefits are large as well. The Food and Agriculture Organizations, again, estimated that every dollar invested in food waste policies brings $14 in return. And there are many ways to tackle food waste. Typically, in developed countries, most of the waste is generated by consumers. In developing countries, it is mostly driven by agricultural production. There are also food waste that are to be tackled in between. One area we realized had inefficiency was actually in the food supply chain. Global logistics are really impressive in their ability to move pretty swiftly large quantities of goods over large distances, but they are not infallible. Pallets full of goods often go missing from supply chains. Companies literally do not know where some of the pallets full of goods end up, or the pallets break because they are made of cheap materials. And as a result, the goods transported are damaged and end up being discarded. So one of the solutions we identified and thought was very interesting is to have a model where an operator owns a fleet of pallets instead of selling them. This way, it leads to a high incentive to keep the pallets very high quality, to make them from sustainable materials, and to invest in new technologies. So for instance, there are so-called smart pallets with remote monitoring systems to track the location of those pallets. So in practice, a company would license the use of these pallets to a consumer goods company, and with the help of the systems, help it better understand its supply chain. This way, there is less loss of pallets, and so less loss of goods on them. But also, the logistics supply chain can be optimized with much better routing of goods, which itself has many benefits, in terms, notably in terms of carbon emissions. And so, a better environmental footprint for those logistics supply chains.
Yes, that's right, Maxime. And finding solutions to food waste, as you've mentioned, is really very relevant to climate change. Food waste currently generates 8% of greenhouse gas emissions, and so food loss and waste are also a critical tool in the fight against climate change. The issues around food security clearly have complex interlinkages, and this is true of many of the sustainability challenges that we face. Perhaps one factor that does bring these challenges together is the way that we use land, whether it's in relation to agriculture, and you mentioned the land used to produce beef being 20 times greater than for other meats, or even through energy transition with land taken by solar and wind farms away from agriculture. So the way we use land has broad consequences, and particularly in relation to climate change. Maybe we need to start thinking more about land use footprints. But what's clear is that it's more important than ever to be investing in the solutions to food security. And we as investors can generate value by investing in the solutions to these sustainability challenges, and in the process make a positive impact on people and planet.
That was Mohsen Ahmed, Senior Investment Analyst, ending that discussion with Investment Analyst Maxime Leflocq. A very topical discussion, and one that is necessary if we are to have food systems that are economically, socially, and environmentally sustainable to feed a growing world population and safeguard the planet for future generations. As ever, feel free to get in touch if you have any feedback about this episode of Amplified, or if there are any topics that you'd like us to cover in the future. Until next time, I'm Tara Cunningham, Associate Director of Content at Hermes. Thank you for listening to Amplified.
Thank you for listening to the Hermes podcast. If you found it interesting and would like to listen to more podcasts by Hermes, please visit our website, hermes-investment.com, and search for podcasts. These podcasts are for information purposes only, and the views, information, or opinions expressed therein are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Hermes Investment Management and its employees. Performance should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. All the performance represented is historical. Past performance is not a reliable indicator of future results, and investors may not recover the full amount invested.